You're with Cape Talk. This is Weekend Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Well, tariffs and tariff structures are certainly the order of the day, not only in South Africa, but around the world. We are continuing to watch the negotiations happening between China and the United States regarding that trade war taking place there. And it was when he was delivering his State of the Nation address a month ago that President Cyril Ramaphosa indicated that he was wearing a suit from House of Monatic in Salt River, highlighting that as South Africans, we should be doing more to buy local, to buy proudly South African. And we've had a series of conversations over the last 3 weeks ensuing that State of the Nation address around the trade, particularly the rag trade. It used to be a mainstay in Cape Town at its height, employing more than 650,000 people, many of those women. It's now down to about 180,000. I think that was the last figure that I saw as far as people employed in that industry. And one of the issues that was highlighted by the representative from House of Monatic is the issue of import duties and how they need to import textile, wool particularly, at a tariff that makes their product unbelievably expensive compared to a complete garment that has been imported from China and other parts of the Far East. Professor David Warwin has written a very, very interesting piece and published in theconversation.com around tariffs and how, I suppose, reverting to greater protection for some of its industry could be a good thing or could not be a good thing for South Africa. He is a professor of innovation and technology management at the University of Pretoria. David, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Before we, I suppose, talk about what we should be doing next, let's understand what we did do and how we benefited or not benefited from the changes in that tariff regime.
Okay, so just by way of introduction, I worked in the Department of Trade and Industry in 1996, which seems a very long time ago. And it was a time when the department was implementing a very radical change in industrial policy and in the whole tariff structure. It coincided with the Marrakesh Agreement and the GATT, basically the GATT agreements. And essentially what happened was that over a period of about 4 years, tariffs were reduced very considerably. I think the average tariff level was about 35%, and it was dropped to about 14% over a period of 4 years. And this is a policy shift. So the shift was essentially driven by the World Trade Organization, and it was a shift away from market protection through tariffs and restriction on imports to open trade and encouragement of national economies by facilitating trade and exports. So the background is essentially that there was this decision, I think, which was a global decision around how to stimulate global economies, and that resulted in this very significant decrease in tariffs and, as a consequence, a loss of protection for certain industries. And some industries responded very well to this and some did not. And the example that you gave of textiles, and hats off to the president for wearing a locally manufactured suit, but some of the industries responded very badly. And this is a study that was done really 25 years later, looking at whether that's still the case, whether industries have managed to reshape according to the new policy environment, or whether they are still struggling.
And it seems certainly the clothing industry is still struggling somewhat, or at least it's taking a very long time to turn it around. The other industries, by the way, include leather goods, footwear, metal products, and the focus area clothing that we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think that's what we discovered. And so that those industries, and especially, I mean, interestingly, they're what we call downstream industries, which are industries which they're not raw materials. So they're not in the upstream section producing bulk or high volume raw materials. They're producing things like consumer products. So those industries are still struggling, and especially the conventional industries, as you've mentioned. So those would be metal products, leather, footwear, bags, clothing, textiles. they haven't adapted well. And then in some respects, it's the consequence of two things happening simultaneously. The one is the loss of tariff protection, but the other is the emergence of China as a global producer and the extreme competition that the local market has experienced from Chinese imports.
The industry seemingly that responded very well to that change in the tariff regime in South Africa in the 90s was the automobile sector. What did they do right?
So the automobile sector negotiated for the continuation of tariff protection. And they've had the automobile, the various forms of it, but the Motor Industry Development Program, I think, was the original one. And so that industry has retained a 40% tariff protection over this whole period, which some would argue is in contravention of World Trade Organization rules. But it was very important for South Africa because mostly that industry is located in the Eastern Cape, which has very, very high unemployment levels. And there's a cost of unemployment to government. And so government's argument is that even though it may cost the economy to keep those jobs, it's value for money because the alternative is having 50 or 60% unemployment in the Eastern Cape. And as a consequence, very heavy demand on the fiscus for a social wage. So that, there's always this kind of trade-off between tariff protection and the need for government to step in and provide a social wage. And in the case of the automobile sector, it was always considered that that trade-off was in favor of tariff protection. So although we pay as consumers 40% more for imported vehicles than we might otherwise, and imported vehicles are expensive here, and as a consequence, so are locally manufactured vehicles. That's very, very important in maintaining social stability and social cohesion in the Eastern Cape.
And is that the solution then for those downstream industries, that they must go back to DTI and say, hey, can we have a relook at how we structure our tariffs and seek slightly better protection than what they have right now to give those industries the opportunity to obviously build a very healthy industry within South Africa that will then provide employment opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely correct. But I think those discussions have been happening over a long period. So even when I was there, you know, the trade unions, for instance, were very vociferous in their opposition to tariff reform and pointed out what effect it was going to have on the local industry. And I mean, unfortunately, we can't turn the clock back. And perhaps that industry would have declined in any case because of even with tariff protection, that the strength of the competition from China from imported goods would have been still very extensive and still done considerable damage to the local industry. But there is there's a necessity for an ongoing dialogue between DTI and what I would call these conventional industries about what best suits them in respect of a supportive policy environment. And I mean, I think in the work that we did, we're not arguing. I mean, often this debate on tariffs is binary. In other words, people are either for it or against it. And what we're arguing is that actually what you need to consider is the overall policy mix. So this is the mixture of what are called supply side and demand side instruments. The tariffs is an example of a demand side instrument, and support for R&D or capital investment or training is an example of a supply side instrument. And that we're just saying that the present environment for these conventional industries is out of proportion. It's not properly balanced, that the supply side emphasis is too excessive. And what we need is a discussion on how to rebalance the policy instruments to make the conditions more, more supportive for conventional industries.
We have extended an invitation, by the way, to DTI, and they were delivering their budget speech in Parliament yesterday. So unfortunately, no official was available for us this morning. So we hope to bring you that conversation next week. David, what should I be asking of them? Because ultimately, I want to heed the president's call. I want to answer to his invitation for me and hopefully for you to buy South African-made clothes. But whenever I do go to a shop, I will see a pair of jeans, a t-shirt, a suit that has been imported, wholly made, that is going to be sold slightly, if not a whole lot more cheaper than if I were to buy a product made in South Africa in Salt River.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, I mean, I think the conversation with the DTI is we had the capability in 1994 or 1995 to manufacture a lot of textiles and a lot of clothing. So it's not that we can't do it. We just weren't competitive, and the change in the policy context resulted in this, what I think you said in your introduction, was a devastating impact on some of the local industries. So the question to the DTI is, we actually knew how to do it. How do we recapture that space? How do we reestablish these industries? Because these are, we need these jobs. And the jobs, even if we have to pay 30% more for the jobs, in other words, even if we have to provide some form of tariff support, which results in an increased cost for government and for the economy, that's worth it because those jobs are important. They are important for social cohesion. They're important for quality of life in the way that we've argued about the motor industry in the Eastern Cape. So the question then to the DTI is simple. It's, what are you doing to reestablish that capability in the economy?
David, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, but also your insights that you have written up. Professor David Walden is the Professor of Innovation and Technology Management at the University of Pretoria. And once again, that article in The Conversation is titled Why South Africa Should Revert to Greater Protection for Some of Its Industries. We'll share a link to that article on our social media platforms.